What a beautiful, beautiful day out there. Absolutely gorgeous. And just to steal a little bit of thunder from the worship leader, we do have that picnic today, 4 o'clock. Somebody bring a radio. We'll have our phones, I know, but we need to follow the Steeler game as well. So come on out to the picnic, and we'll have some fun. Whether you bring any food or not doesn't matter. Just come on, hang out, we'll talk for a while and just fellowship and let the world know that we are alive and fine. So it is absolutely gorgeous. I'm glad you're here today. We're family. This is our home away from home. And this is Pap's house. God's sitting in his easy chair, and we're gathered together here in the living room at his feet, to fellowship with one another, to cry with each other, to pray and work hard with each other, and to tell Pap how much we love him. So check your baggage at the door, my brothers and sisters. That busy schedule, that picnic today, whatever you got going on this week, leave it at the door. It doesn't belong in here. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Be in the moment. Open yourself to receive the word that he has for you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you for this sacred and holy ground upon which we are gathered. We call it sanctuary for a reason, Lord, because in here we feel safe. In here we feel like we are in your presence, and all the cares and worries and fears of the world are washed away. We are in sanctuary, a time out from the rat race. And in this place today, we want to lift high the name of Jesus. We want to tell you how much we love you, how thankful we are. In this place, we want to fellowship with each other, put aside our differences and love one another. In this place, God, we want to bring a smile to your face. And so we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us in all that we do today. Have your way with us, God. Fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's greet our neighbors and pass the peace of Christ.
Church, as you return to your seats, I do want to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors. And if we do have visitors, please see one of our ushers if you would like more information about our church. A reminder to please sign the registration sheets that are in the red folders at the end of each pew. Complete that registration form and then pass it to others in your pew. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in those red holders. Please complete that card and put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Pastor Bruce. We do have several announcements. We'll start first with Eric.
As I mentioned, we are having a little fellowship program on the lawn this afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock. We have already a nice crowd. It's exciting, but there's room for you. And so we would love to see you come out. So I'm going to pass out the sign-up sheet. If you can bring something, fantastic. If you can't bring anything, also, fantastic. Just come out, have a good time. So let's start passing the time. You're on the radio.
That's 4 o'clock today. Look forward to seeing you all there.
My parents. Two things. First of all, you should still have a yellow slip of paper in your bulletin to put down your favorite hymn. It can be in the Red Book or the Faith We Sing book, or if you want to play Stump the Musician, you can put another song down. That's a challenge. All right. Secondly, we have purchased some really, really nice stylus pens that have the church name, the phone number, and they also say God loves you, and so do we. We're selling them for $2, and I have seen them for sale for $5. So this is a really, really nice pen. For those of you who don't know what a stylus pen is, if you don't have a tablet or a smartphone, it's got that squishy end so that you can write on your tablet with it. So or on your phone, saves your fingers. So that's what these are, and they are $2, great stocking stuffers, and great for, you know, when you go to those places where you have to have a $2 grab bag and you say, what can I get for $2? A pen! And otherwise, take a few of those pens and just kind of lose them around the community so that we get our church name out there. For this week, I have the pens up here. If you'll come and see me after the service, I'll be glad to give you some for $2 each. Otherwise, next week, I hope to have somebody out in the narthex with the pens. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Diane and Eric. Just a few reminders. This Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m., the visitation team will meet here in the church. If you are interested in this very important outreach ministry, please come to the meeting this Wednesday or see Pastor Bruce if you would like more information. A few things for your calendar. The Women's Book Study will begin on Wednesday, October 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. That is held here at the church. And if you have any particular questions, please see Becky Platt here in the front or Bonnie Judy, who will be leading that study. And then the Nurture Committee will be scheduling a hayride. It will be the second annual hayride on Monday, October 17th. So mark your calendars. That will certainly be an evening of fun. A hayride and some ice cream from Kerber's and a little pumpkin. It just sounds like a great night of fun. So in the next several weeks, we'll also have a sign-up sheet for that so that that Nurture Committee can get a count on those that will be attending. And as Pastor says, and as Eric said today, I'm going to be your third reminder, so you can't possibly forget it. The picnic is today. We hope to see you all out here in the back by the garden area starting at 4 o'clock. So come one, come all. It'll be a great evening of fellowship. Oh, and our memory verse for September, I hope you've been reviewing that. It's from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's probably a lot of our favorite verses. So I hope that you have taken note of that, being that we are here in the end of September, that Philippians 4:13. And I would now ask that you turn your hearts and minds as we continue with our worship service. Thank you. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, for the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, and will cover you with his pinions.
Under the Lord's wings you will find refuge. God's faithfulness is a shield and a buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day,
nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes in the day.
A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see the darkness of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation.
No evil shall befall you, no scourge shall clear your tent.
Please remain standing for hymn number 176 in your red hymnal. Please be seated.
There are a lot of different ministries in life as well as in the church. Greeters, ushers, worship leaders, lay speakers, lay leaders, Sunday school teachers, volunteers, committee chairs, music directors. These are all ministries. You can get paid for ministries. Some ministries you do without pay. Some ministries you get thanked for. Some ministries nobody ever says a word to you about. There are all kinds of ministries. You can ring the bell for Salvation Army kettles. You can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, soup kitchens, food banks, and the list goes on. There's all kinds of ways to do the work of ministry, to serve God, to promote the gospel. One of those ways is through the Prayer Shawl Ministry. Prayer shawls, knitted hats, baby blankets, pocket prayer shawls. You can't see it from there, but there's a cross, a raised cross on these. A prayer shawl, a blanket, great ministry. And they come with this card. It's called Hearts to God, Hands to Work. Here is the prayer for healing that goes with these. You know, I could figure it out, but put on my cheaters. Yeah, it's better. In the beginning, creating God, you formed my being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. To my flesh and blood, you gave me the breath of life. O living one, renew me this day in your love. Grant me life as a gift of your faithfulness. Grant me light for my journey. Grant me hope to sustain me. May this created love gift be a sign of your healing presence. May it warm me when I am weary. May it surround me to ease my suffering. May it encircle me with care when I am in pain. O Christ, who healed the broken in body and spirit, be with me and all who suffer this day. Be with family and friends who abide with and comfort us. May your gentle yet strong touch reach out to heal us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Then there's a prayer of dedication on the next page. It says on this, and there's a spot for the date. On this date and around our gathered circle, we have passed this, whatever they're working on, we have passed this through our praying hands during its creation. Today it has been blessed with loving hearts by our pastor, by our congregation, and hands to work, hearts to God ministry at Irwin First United Methodist Church during church services. Our thoughts and prayers for you. And there's some places to make comments on here. On the back it has our name and address, and then it has some typical colors in the meanings. So the yarn comes in different colors and what those colors may stand for. Wonderful ministry. They're always looking for more people who want to knit, crochet, whatever you call it. What do you call that? Crocheting. Yep. Whoever wants to do that, if you want to learn, they will teach you. You can come out and learn. And it's in the room right next to my office is where they do that on Sunday mornings. They have all kind of yarn and that. They'll fix you up with the needles. But it's a great ministry. And we believe that the anointing of God through our prayers will be conveyed through this ministry to whoever receives these. So, to that end, pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless and anoint these creations, Lord, these articles of gifts, of love. Bless and anoint these shawls and these hats, pocket prayer shawls. Bless and anoint them, God, with your spirit, so that whoever receives them, as they handle them, as they lay them over their laps, around their shoulders, we pray that they feel your love. We pray that they feel our love. And we pray that you touch them with a healing touch. Bless and anoint all those involved in this ministry, Lord. Refresh their spirits. Bless their creations. For it's all for you, for your honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Time for our kids. Children, come on down. Give me five. Yes. Ooh, yes. All right. Ooh, yes. Okay. Hey, who loves you? Jesus loves you. Bunches and bunches. No matter what you go, no matter what you do, whether you feel good or bad, happy or sad, whether you're awake or asleep, Jesus loves you bunches and bunches. Did you ever hear of buried treasure? Have you? Have you heard of it?
I actually have a map of it.
You have a map to buried treasure. How cool is that?
A real map.
A real map. You and I will have to get together someday, okay? Cool, buried treasure. You know, and there are buried treasures all over the world. People have hidden things and buried them. They've buried them in lockboxes, and pirates and other people have buried money in the dirt, in the sand, wherever, hidden them in caves. There are sunken ships with treasures on them, and there are people who have found some of those treasures and brought them up and shared them with people and gotten rich off of them. There's all kind of treasures, too. It's not always money. It's Sometimes treasure is can be an ancient writing, a book or something. It could be clothing that Jesus wore. Well, that would be a real treasure too. Or the balloons. Yeah. And it could be all kind of stuff. It could be bones. It could be dishes. There's all kinds of buried treasures, things that are waiting to be found. But I got to tell you, the greatest treasure in the whole world, the greatest treasure, more important than anything else, it's the treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's knowing that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. And that when Jesus died on the cross for us, all our sins were forgiven if we believe in Jesus. And that God raised Jesus from the dead. It means that Jesus will never die again. And if we believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we'll never die again. We die once, it says in the Bible, but we will live forever in heaven. Boy, that's a treasure. That's a treasure.
And I won't be allergic to strawberries in heaven.
You will not be allergic to strawberries in heaven. Absolutely not. It will be a wonderful, wonderful place. And that's something that we need to share with everybody. So what I want you to do is, I want you to walk down this aisle. And I want everybody in the aisles, in the pews, I want you to share with these children your treasure about the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to give them treasure. So you tell them how much Jesus loves them. Okay? Go ahead, kids. Go down there. And then come up here and go by the choir. See if they can share some treasure with you. Go up by the choir and see if they can share some treasure with you. Now, just the way they shared their treasure with you, I want you to share that treasure with your friends. Tell your friends that Jesus loves them, bunches and bunches, and that by believing in Jesus, their sins will be forgiven and they'll live in heaven one day. So share that knowledge with your friends. It's more important than any money, any toys, any other kind of treasure in the whole world. That is the most important treasure. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us to share the treasure of how much Jesus loves us with our friends. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm feeling a life's ambition here. The anthem this morning has a refrain that is found in your hymnal, number 143, and we invite you to join us with that refrain. Thank you.
Thank you, who all were involved in that beautiful hymn this morning. Our word of God is from the New Testament. Hear these words that Paul writes in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. There is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Christ Jesus. And this will be made manifest at the proper time by the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good deeds, liberal and generous, thus laying up for themselves a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life, which is life indeed. Here ends the reading of Paul's advice to Timothy. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Thank you.
Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And Lord, we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings and use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ to our hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Seated. Joys. We have a lot to be thankful for. There's a praise for a great granddaughter. Allison is just about 3 pounds. So that's a joy. David and all became grandparents. David and his wife. Joys. What other joys do we have? For this day, beautiful weather. For relief from pain. Other joys.
You and Bonnie.
For me and Bonnie. Well, thank you. For Christmas. Yes. I've already been playing the Christmas music, watched White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm ready to go. Somebody has Christmas socks on?
Not me.
Yes.
My Joey had a PR today in the Great
Britain. Okay. He's the PR?
No.
Any runners?
Okay, PR is a personal record.
A personal record in the running.
Running speakies for
you.
You had a great time.
Do I look like I run? Never mind.
New ministry.
Saturday night's musicians, Laura and Rob, they are also running in today's race. Okay, Lucy, who was only given a 1% chance of being born alive, it has been born alive and is well. And if you're thankful for that round roll of paper that you have next to your toilet, raise your hand.
Woo!
You know, one of my personal favorites, where would we be without it? And indoor plumbing, roof over our heads, clothes we wear, food that we eat, cars that we drive, streets that we drive on, our government such that it is, our health, our pets, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, flowers, colors, smells, change of seasons, this place, each other, the list goes on. We have a lot to be thankful for, to say praise the Lord for. Always show God your gratitude. So, for all of these joys, we do say, praise the Lord. Now, pens and pencils. This is our homework, my homework, your homework, until God says, don't do it anymore. Maybe a day, maybe once, it may be weeks, maybe years. But pray, pray, pray. We want to pray for our country and our country's leaders. I want to pray for our church, the ministries here, that we would grow in leaps and bounds and that we would do what God wants us to do. We want to pray for all those who are traveling. A lot of folks waiting for this cooler weather to go places. We want to pray for those who are addicted. We were talking about that this morning. Pray that God sets them free. Men and women in the military, protect our country, make some very hard decisions. Who else do we want to pray for? For the lost, those who don't know the Lord. And that's our job. That's what we, our responsibility as Christians, the good works that we've been created to do. To share that treasure of the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Other concerns. What was that baby's name? Lucy?
Lucy.
We want to pray for Lucy, little baby. Let's pray for June. I just talking to Bernie this morning, and Bernie's going to let me know when it'll be good to come out and see her this week because June's got pneumonia. And she's not eating well. So keep June in your prayers. She was doing so well. Remember to keep Nancy in your prayers. And Arthur, Art, I was talking to Daryl this morning, and I'm going to go see Art this week. Art suffering from dementia and had a pulmonary embolism. He's probably coming home today or tomorrow from Forbes Regional. Who else do we want to pray for? What situation do we want to pray for?
For Bill and for John.
For Bill and for John. Did I hear something else? Oh, the situation in Charlotte, right, the civil unrest. And how many of you heard about the clowns? Right in Manor, you know, Hempfield, and all of, actually, several different states in the country. They're not sure what that's about, what's going on, but they have eyewitness accounts, talk to people. To me, it's just another indication that this world's in a mess. So pray for our country, our country's leaders. Pray for our children. Sharon? Okay, pray for Sharon. So for all of our concerns, for any unspoken requests, give it to God. Just raise your hand. God sees the hand, knows the detail. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, there's no place else to go. There are some situations here, Lord, that look impossible. Addiction. God, even if it means hitting bottom, we ask that you would set those free. Those whom we know, those whom we love, who are addicted. We pray, Lord, for our country and our country's leaders, for the ministries of this church. We pray, God, that this church would grow in leaps and bounds. Help us, God, to reach out and to save those who are lost, to share that treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ with a hurting world. Help us, God, to reach our children, our youth in this area. Help us to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We lift up to you, Lord, into the light and love of your presence, all those who are traveling, men and women in the military, Lucy, June, Nancy, Art, Bill, John, Sharon, the civil unrest, not only in Charlotte, but all over our country. We lift up to you, Lord, our children, young and old alike, all our children, our teenagers. Help us help them. We lift up to you the unspoken request. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We stand upon your word that tells us that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we have favor with God and man, so we can stand in the gap for other people. Our prayers mean something. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe, God, help our unbelief. With you, God, all things are possible. Like for Lucy, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have favor with God and man. It is written. And for all of that, we give you thanks. For all of that, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. For all of that, we pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading today is from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. A rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been put in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. You know, on your prayer list, if you were writing things down, also include Josh, Kim, and Ryan, and Allison's mother, Nicole. Today's sermon is from the lectionary. The lectionary. Diane and I, we plan out the worship services, try to go over as many details as we can for a month and a half, 2 months at a time. And so quite often I read over the lectionary, try to determine what it is God wants me to preach on. I prefer going by inspiration more than anything, but there are times that we follow the lectionary. And today's a lectionary reading. Now, how many people here know what lectionary is? That's better than the first service. It's good. In a nutshell, lectionary is a selected group of readings from the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. And it follows a certain path. So lectionary, simply put, is a guided walk through the Bible. And there are lectionary readings to help us along that walk in the Bible. And they're divided into year A, year B, year C. So all three of those years have different passages picked out to guide you through the Bible. Now, having said that, each year there's a different path you can take. Still the Bible, Word of God in that. The scriptures are multivalent. How many people know what multivalent is? Okay. If I were to wear a veil over my face, Eric would say thank you. But if I were to wear a veil over my face and another veil and another veil and another veil and another veil, say I had 10 veils hanging over my face, there would be layer after layer, right? I could pull one back, another layer, pull it back, another layer, pull it back. The scriptures are like that. The scriptures are multivalent. There is layer after layer of meaning to the scriptures. So that when you read, say, the Gospel of John, which is, people say, "Pastor, I want to get into my Bible. What should I read first?" And I always tell them, read the Gospel of John three times, beginning to end. So when you read the scriptures, like the Gospel of John, you read it through, you get whatever you get out of it. Then you pray about it and you read it through again. You'll get more out of it. And it's so on and so forth. Every time you read the scriptures, you get more meaning out of it. God just takes you deeper and deeper and deeper. The scriptures are multivalent. So those are your two words for the day. And you can drop them on your friends and seem real astute and smart and everything, that you know what lectionary is and multivalent. Today's story is about the rich man and Lazarus, and it too is multivalent. It too has a couple of meanings that I wanted to focus on today. The first meaning is the obvious one. The rich man lived in the lap of luxury. He was dressed in purple, and the Bible says that for a specific reason, because purple was very hard to come by. Very hard to get purple linen. You know, today we have all kind of dyes, and we can create purple with no problem. Back in that day, they didn't have all those dyes as readily available, and according to one source that I read, there was a certain sea creature that gave up the purple ink, and so a lot of those had to be killed in order to make a a purple cloth, purple robe. But anyways, purple robes, linens. He had a gate to his house, lived in a fine place, ate wonderful food. And then there was Lazarus, a beggar who was laid at his gate every day. Somebody carried him and laid him at that gate because this man had so much. This was Lazarus's best hope to get something. And that rich man ignored Lazarus. Ignored him to the point that his sores were so bad, they'd give off an odor, the dogs would come and lick those sores. And all Lazarus wanted was a few crumbs off the table of that rich man's house, out of his dinner. Just a few crumbs to put in his mouth, to ease the pain of hunger. Just a little bit. Lazarus dies. The rich man dies. Now, the rich man had all these possessions, and he didn't use them to help Lazarus. As a matter of fact, if he didn't help Lazarus, who was right at his gate, we pretty well know he didn't help anybody, but that he kept all of his wealth for himself. Well, do you remember the story about the man who had the abundant crops, had a great harvest? And he said, wow, what am I going to do? I know. I'll gather all my crops, I'll build new barns, and I'll put all my extra crops into these barns and silos. And then I will eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. The sheep and the goats, which we just used the other day. Jesus said that we're supposed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick. He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So if you do it unto Lazarus, had the rich man taken care of Lazarus and gave him some food, he'd have been feeding Jesus. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And Lazarus suffered, but somebody was laying him at the gate. Now we have to ask ourselves, why is Jesus telling this story? Well, if we look at verse 14... who's Jesus talking to? The Pharisees. He's telling them this story, the Pharisees. So here they are now. Their roles are reversed. Lazarus, the beggar, is in heaven. And the rich man is in hell. And he is in constant torment. In fire, he said. And yet he's not dying. And he can see across this great chasm to heaven, where he sees Lazarus laying up against Abraham's bosom, being taken care of. And he asks for a few morsels of water. Send Lazarus to get a few morsels of water and touch my tongue. Where before, Lazarus wanted a few morsels of his food. So it's been reversed. And the rich man, even from hell, still didn't get it. He's still trying to order Lazarus around. Instead of looking up at heaven and saying, I'm sorry for not taking care of Lazarus. So the rich man was getting what he deserved. But you know what I realized just today, reading over the scriptures? Abraham says to the rich man, listen, I'm not going to send Lazarus to do that. He can't. There's been a great chasm fixed between you and me, this big gulf that nobody can cross. Nobody on your side can come to us, and nobody who wants to go to your side from up here can do it. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, why would somebody want to leave heaven to go down to hell? Obviously, people would want to leave where the rich man was at, hell, and come to heaven. That's obvious. That's part of the torment. Not only are you suffering in pain and agony with the heat, the loneliness, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the worm that always eats, but you can see what you could have had. And then it dawned on me the reason people might want to go to the other side is because their loved ones may be in hell. Surely some of them are. People who have rejected Jesus. People who don't need religion. I don't need religion. Don't need church. I don't want to hear that stuff. And that's why it says in Revelation 20 or 21, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eye." What could possibly make heaven any sweeter than to be able to look upon what you would have had if you had rejected Jesus? Boy. So that really spoke to me today anyways. And that's one understanding of the story of Lazarus and the rich man. We're supposed to use our possessions to bless those who are in need around us. That's the moral of the story. Be a blessing to people around you. And if you're suffering, hang in there. You may suffer for the rest of your life, but hang in there because better days are coming. Remember, this life's only temporary. That's meaning one. Meaning two, as I said, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. They're full of pride and ignorance. This is in Luke chapter 16. The first part of Luke chapter 16 is about the unjust steward. So this whole chapter is about stewardship. So Jesus is talking to them and he's telling them about this rich man who has all this treasure. This rich man represents the Jews. The treasure they have is the knowledge of God's plan of salvation, that there would be a Messiah, a Redeemer King, who was going to come and to deliver them. But they were just like the rich man in the first version because they wanted to keep it all for themselves. They considered themselves the chosen people and that God was only talking about them. They didn't want to share that knowledge with anybody else. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. And they didn't want anything to do with you. They had all kinds of rules and regulations and laws that cut you off from the land, cut you off from their favor. And yet it says in Genesis chapter 12, the Abrahamic covenant, when God calls Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, he tells Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and through you I will bless all the families on the earth." They were blessed to be a blessing. They were supposed to share the knowledge of God's plan of salvation in Jesus with the whole world. But they did not. They refused to. They were a proud, stiff-necked people. So they were the rich man. And they are going to suffer because of it. While the Lazarus, the beggar, is the Gentile. All the Gentiles who then receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus, you end up in heaven. That was the second version, meaning of that story of the rich man and Lazarus, that God was speaking to the Jews, to the Pharisees at that time. Scriptures are multivalent. Scriptures are always about how we should live our lives. It's about setting right priorities with the things that we own. It's about setting the right priorities in life and doing whatever it takes to avoid going to hell. And we need to share that treasure of that knowledge of that of hell and of how we should live our lives with our friends and our family, with other people. Priorities. I'm not going to ask how many people gave something away, you know, last week. I did have some hands. Some people told me they did that. Were you able to separate yourself from one of your possessions? And how important was that possession to you when you did? If you haven't done it yet, don't give up. Keep praying about it, working on it. There are some people who live their lives that way. Every time they see somebody in need, a Lazarus, a beggar, they always give them something. Sometimes they give them a lot. I know people that take people home and feed them and clothe them and bathe them even. I know people who give away automobiles Bonnie and I have been recipients of that. People have given us things. There was a diehard fan at the Super Bowl. He's sitting in the stadium. Great seats, 50-yard line. And he looks over and there's an empty seat. Well, he's amazed. Man, how can there possibly be an empty seat at the Super Bowl? And he says to the woman sitting next to the empty seat, he says, I'm amazed that there's an empty seat. I can't believe that somebody would miss this game. She goes, I know. She goes, it was my husband's seat, but he died. And he says, I'm really sorry to hear that. He says, I'm really surprised that, you know, a relative or a friend or somebody didn't take that seat. And the woman says, yeah, I am too. But for some reason, they all wanted to go to the funeral. Priorities. Priorities. What's really important in life to you? What comes first? Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? Do you know what the consequences of our actions will be? Do we know that? Do we think about that? This life is only temporary. You've heard me say time and time again. So share the treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ with your friends and your family and your coworkers and your neighbors. Tell them the good news. Take care of that beggar. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand as we sing, God be with you till we meet again.
Jesus.
Well, we have visitation team meeting on Wednesday, lay leadership meeting. We have, there's TOPS, Narcotics Anonymous on Tuesday, picnic tonight at 4. You have your prayer homework to take with you. Just lots of things going on. If you're not plugged in somewhere, please get plugged in. If you need help doing that, let us know. We've got lots of places available. Still looking for a junior high Sunday school teacher. Pray. And share that knowledge of Jesus Christ that you have, like you did with the kids. Share it with your friends and neighbors. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and give us that holy boldness. That boldness that we just can't contain. Give us the holy boldness, Lord, to be fools for Christ. To share with people the treasure of the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.